Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
When we really get right down to it, in this auditorium this morning, we're just common folks. We're just sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. There's jail keepers in here, and there's business women in here, and there's people with a lot of past in here and been through lots of problems and drugs and difficulties in their life. What do we have in common? We have Jesus in common, and with Jesus in common, we can see great things done for the glory of God.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth Spiritually.
Well, the Apostle Paul often used athletic metaphors to describe the spiritual journey that he was enjoying and to challenge others on their spiritual journey as well. He had seen many of the sites of the ancient games. He had seen the Colosseums at Athens, and he had seen, no doubt, the Colosseum at Rome and other places such as Corinth. And he understood, as the Holy Spirit gave him these words, how to apply an athletic metaphor such as reaching forth, someone that's moving into a race and challenging them to approach the Christian life, not with a lackadaisical attitude, but with a spirit of faith in God. And I do believe it's important that we have not just a powerful, positive mindset, but a biblical mindset as we enter into this new season of life. And I think many of you perhaps have had a few days, as I have these last few weeks, to just ponder what are some of those goals that you might think about may have to do with family time or maybe with your health or maybe with your finances, and just exactly what do we need to accomplish. Terry and I were talking the other day. We talked about maybe joining Weight Watchers this year. And I said, yeah, I could bring the donuts to the first meeting and kind of welcome everybody in, you know. And she said that would not be a good idea. And some people think about, you know, the physical things like that. One man was asked what his New Year's resolutions were, and he replied, I really don't know. My wife hasn't told me yet. And some of you understand that as well. So, you know, all of us putting these lists together, thinking about, you know, where are we heading? But this morning we see a very poignant passage of Scripture that can give direction to all of us with respect to reaching forth. This particular passage was written by the Apostle Paul to a group of believers in northern Macedonia, northern Greece, a place that was very impoverished. It was a place that was suffering under Roman rule, a city about 9 miles from the Aegean Sea, northwest of the island of Chios. And this particular region always amazes me, especially the first century history of it, because they were impoverished, they were going through difficult times, and yet, from this place of Philippi, there was a Christian church established that raised up and became a powerful lighthouse for the gospel. They were difference makers in their society. Although poverty abounded, they were one of the most generous churches ever to be written about in the Bible. They met needs every time they possibly could. And so the Apostle Paul came to the city. Now, his habit was to go into a city and go to the Jewish synagogue and begin reasoning and debating about Jesus Christ as the Messiah. This particular city, however, did not have a synagogue. Many historians believe they were perhaps anti-Semitic. Whatever the reason it may have been, Paul went into the city realizing there was no synagogue. He goes to the riverside, another gathering place, and he begins preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I like sometimes to get the background of a book of the Bible and to know a little bit about what the context is. And it's interesting to see how churches get started. And so when we study the context of the church at Philippi, the first one we read about, going back to the book of Acts, chapter number 16 and verse 14, we read about the first convert at Philippi. And it was a lady, and her name was Lydia. She was a businesswoman. The Bible describes her as a seller of purple. And she would go down near the seashore, and she would find these particular shells that were there. And these particular shells had some chemical extract that she would create purple garments with. And so she became a seller of purple. And as she was there near the river and where the ocean would come in, collecting the shells, she no doubt heard Paul preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible says that she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart. Well, if you read more in Acts 16, you read the next person that came into the church, of all people, was a demon-possessed girl. She was the subject of human trafficking. The men that were her owners were using her in a work of divination to try to foretell the future, and they were using her, taking advantage of her. And the Apostle Paul saw what was happening, and in the name of Jesus Christ, she was loosed from the demonic powers. She received Christ as her Savior. And as I said a moment ago, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My friend, when Jesus comes into your life, no demon can ever take your life again. And her life was radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now we have a businesswoman and a struggling young woman who's coming out of a terrible life of her past. And then we read a little further and we meet the third member of the church at Philippi, and he was the Philippian jailer. And remember, Paul and Silas, the song said a moment ago, they were in jail because people didn't like them preaching the gospel. So they were in jail, and while they were there, the Bible says at midnight they were singing praise to God. They were blessing his name, and suddenly an earthquake comes, and Paul and Silas are walking out, and the jailer was fearful for his life because jailers could lose their life if the prisoners escaped. And so he came to the Apostle Paul with that famous question. He said, "Sirs," say it with me, "what must I do to be saved?" That's the greatest question of life. And so many churches have so many answers to that question. And Paul said to him very simply, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house." And that jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved gloriously, and there you have the beginning of the church. A businesswoman, a demon-possessed, formerly demon-possessed girl, and a jailer, and they got together and impacted a region of the world for Jesus Christ. And I love that because, folks, when we really get right down to it, in this auditorium this morning, we're just common folks. We're just sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. There's jailkeepers in here, and there's businesswomen in here, and there's people with a lot of past in here and been through lots of problems and drugs and difficulties in their life. What do we have in common? We have Jesus in common, and with Jesus in common, we can see great things done for the glory of God. Amen. And that's what we learn at Philippi. We learn about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing to them, and he's challenging these new believers that they would reach forth in their quest for Jesus, in their quest for knowing Jesus, in their quest for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his challenge, he gives them three simple principles that I want to give you this morning, because I want to see Lancaster Baptist reach our area for Christ. I want to see our church make a great difference for the glory of God, so that no honest history is written of the city of Lancaster without mentioning the work of this single church, that we would reach our potential for the glory of God. How can that be accomplished? Well, three things Paul shares, and I give them to you this morning. First, we must enter with a spirit of humility. Now, go ahead and write it down, because it's a good word just to meditate on. Humility. You see, a lot of the psycho-cybernetics of this world, the power of positive thinking, they kind of approach it the other way. They tell us that we should look ourselves in the mirror and pump ourselves up saying, "We're great, we can handle it, we can get it done." But the Bible seems to go the opposite way. And the Bible says, no, if we're going to get anything done spiritually, then we need to start with humility, which is to simply say, without God, I can't get anything done. Now, why do we say humility? Well, let's take a look at verse 12. What does Paul say? "Not as though I had already attained." Look at verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now, what a humble admission. We won't take all the time, but if you studied Paul's life, he was schooled in the school of Gamaliel, a tremendous education. As a Pharisee, he was touching the law. He was righteous. He had memorized whole books of the Bible. He was an amazing leader. He was an amazing soldier. And yet he sets all of that aside and he says, but I have not arrived. And if any of us are going to grow this year, we've got to come to that place. We can't say, I've done this. I've been there. I have this education. What we need to say this morning is, I'm a student sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. I have not arrived. I don't have all the answers. I haven't been through every season of life. I haven't been to every planet to know. I haven't attained every degree. I have much to learn. Paul says, I have not attained. I have not yet apprehended. And Peter said, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we need God's grace this year. And that's only going to come as we humble ourselves before the Lord and as we admit that we need his help. You know, lifeguards tell us that the hardest person to save is a person trying to save themselves. When a lifeguard swims out to that person that is struggling and perhaps about to drown, the first thing they say to that person is, hey, look, just relax. Just let me bring you in. Stop trying to save yourself. Can I tell you this morning, you cannot save your own soul. Only Jesus can pay the price for your sin. And you cannot solve all of your own problems. There comes a point in time when you say, I only have so many resources, but I have not apprehended. God, I need your help. It was a humble admission that was made here. It was a very honest admission. He says, either we're already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles. And I know how it is. Sometimes we come to church and we should. We try to look right. We try to act right. We try to hold our Bibles right. So all these different things. But let's just come to this place to say, it doesn't matter what you're looking like today. It doesn't matter where you went to school, how much money's in your bank. Look at all of us are at the same starting point today. We all need God's help this year. In fact, the Bible says without him, we can do nothing. So it's a very humble admission for the Apostle Paul to say, I count not myself to have apprehended. And can I say that sometimes the hardest people to get to understand this are those of us who've been Christians a long time. Because we can get to thinking, well, I know that, I've learned that, I've got these standards, I'm more holy and righteous. And what we need to recognize is none of us have arrived. All of us need to learn. And so it was a humble admission. It was also an honest admission. He says, either we're already perfect. You see, no one is ever going to be saved if they have never confessed the fact that they're a sinner. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, if we're saved, have had a point where we've said to the Lord, Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you to be my Savior, because the church can't save us from our sin. The baptistry water can't save us from our sin. The fact is that only Jesus Christ can save us from our sin. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we must humble ourselves before the Lord. You say, well, I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. Well, then may I say that if you're going to be able to lead, if you're going to be able to serve more effectively, we also must say, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot of listening to do. Moses said to God, when God said, I want you to go into Pharaoh, Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, I'm not qualified for this. I don't know what to do. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, he said. And that ought to be your prayer and mine. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, because I cannot make it without you. It was an honest assessment that Paul the Apostle made. He was humble in his assessment, and may we have that spirit. But not only was it an honest assessment, I want you to notice there, letter B, that Paul became easy to direct. He was easy to lead. Now notice in verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Would you say that phrase with me, please? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He says, I follow after. Now, what he's telling us here, he says, I haven't apprehended Christ yet. I'm not like him to the extent that I want to be. I don't know him to the extent that I need to know him. But he said, I'm following after him. I'm looking to him. He is my goal. I'm easily directed to him. He has my attention. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 5:1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, follow God like a child would follow you. You know, the great thing about being with children that are 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old is that when you say, all right, it's time for a Bible story, they want to hear the Bible story. It's time for a walk. They want to go on the walk. All these different things. Children just seem to eat right out of your hand, don't they? They want to know what the Bible says. They want to know some stories and learn these truths. And God says to all of us, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be easy to direct. I want you to follow God like a child would follow and to have a tenderness toward the things of God. And in this hard world, in this argumentative world, in this divided world, we need to have a heart that is not jaded, but a heart that is tender to God. And so we're to follow after Christ, easily following and then apprehending God's purpose. He says that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. In other words, the God who came to us through his Son, the God who apprehended us wants us to apprehend him. You see, the Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He came to us. And Paul says, since God came to me, I want to keep running to him and running to him. I want to be easily directed to him. And so the first way, as we come to this starting line, we say, Lord, I've not yet arrived. I've got to have your help. Approach this year with humility. How many of you are with me so far? Yeah. Approach it right there with humility. Secondly, what's the second bit of advice he gave to them? The second word I want you to write down is the word focus. The word focus. Now notice that in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, there's humility, but this one thing I do. Let's read that phrase together, ready to begin. But this there's the focus. He says, I haven't arrived, but there's this one thing I'm going to do. Now, may I submit to you this morning that often our trouble is a lack of focus, not a lack of time. Now, I've said this too, and you have. Boy, if I could just have another 24 hours in a day, and most people, if they had it, would squander it like they did the other 24. Our need is not always more time. Our need is often more in the way of focus. Paul said, this one thing I'm going to do. There have been books written on this subject, management books on the subject of finding your one thing and doing it well. And I believe that's derived from this biblical principle, this one thing. And Paul's one thing was Christ and knowing Christ. I read an amazing book over the last few weeks entitled Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. I'd recommend every parent of a teenager get the book, by the way. It's not a Christian book, secular book. Digital Minimalism. It challenges the reader to focus our online time to a smaller number of apps and activities that serve the greater purposes of our life. It challenges the reader to be more focused in the area of social media. It teaches how the creators of Facebook use psychological methods to give users a little dopamine hit whenever they get a like or give someone else a like. And it talks about a lot of the science and psychology that has been employed by the creators of the social media sites, this psychology of addiction that has created such a culture into which that the average American spends 57 minutes a day not using Facebook wisely, but just spending time on Facebook to have that little hit back of some form of acceptance. And the author of the book challenges the reader to optimize their use and to live with more intentionality in their everyday life. Well, this is the greater theme of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying there is a great intention that I have in this life. There is an intentionality about me that there is one major focus, and everything else must be subservient to this one major focus of my life. And the major focus was knowing Christ. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, this is the one thing that I'm going to do. Now, if you've read the verse before, you know that his one thing has two parts, doesn't it? So let's look at that there in verse 13. He says, but this one thing I do, first of all, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past. Now, I don't know how last year went for you, and really, I don't think it really matters in the sense of failures or even sometimes successes. You see, the fact is that Every one of us at a new year have the opportunity to forget those past failures and to come to a place where we put those things behind us. And there are many in this room that need to learn how to be good forgetters. We need to learn how to put some things behind us. And I've learned in counseling and different settings that it's actually amazing. Some people can bring what I call their gunny sack full of hurts and problems, and they can remember things from 7 years ago and 5 years ago and 6 months ago, and he said, here it comes, and boy, it's out on the table. And can I encourage you that if you've been hurt, that you might be challenged this morning not to ruin your future by living in your past? Now, Paul could have lived in his past because before he was a Christian, he was a persecutor of the church. When he became a Christian, he was on the road to Damascus. As he was heading up the road to Damascus and the light of Christ shone upon him, he was involved in persecuting the church. He had brought much havoc to the church. He could have regretted that. He could have lived in that past. But he said, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to forget the past hurts. I'm going to forget the past failures that I've had. And I want to encourage you to set those things aside as well. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players that ever played, he said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I was entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is precisely why I succeed. And I want to encourage you, friend. I thank the Lord for my fifth grade school teacher who taught me that little poem. If at first you don't succeed, what is it? Try again. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to put my failures behind me, forgetting those things which are behind me. Let me encourage you, friend. You say, Pastor, I fell into some sin last year. And what a tragedy when Satan tempts us and when perhaps sin has come into our life. But let me tell you what, if you're saved today, your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, you're not saved because you earned it. It was a gift given to you. In fact, the Bible says concerning sin, Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression for us. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is God's not thinking about your sin, and you don't need to be thinking about it. You need to thank God for his forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm saying this morning is don't ruin your future by living in your past. Paul said, I've got to forget the past. Here we see a man that was forgetting the past, and then he was, notice this, reaching to the future. Verse 13 again, he says, I reach forth to those things which are before. Now, friend, this morning, you are either hanging on or you are reaching forth. And I meet people all the time that are just hanging on, just waiting for retirement, you know, just waiting for the bailout. They're just kind of hanging on in life. And I want to challenge you, don't just hang on. Reach forward. You are either living a life of passive consumption, or you are living a life of intentional pursuit for God. You're either biding your time or you're going forth on purpose for the Lord. And Paul said, I'm reaching forth with this purpose like a runner crossing the finish line. I'm stretching for it. In fact, he was, I believe in his mind, thinking of that day when he would see Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, friend. We're all going to see the Lord Jesus someday. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. You see, Paul was pressing toward that mark. As he stood at the line, he stood there with humility. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. But he stood there with focus. Lord, this one thing I do, I'm pressing forward to know you more, to serve you more, to love you more. That's the one dominant thing in my life. Business is good and sports are fun. All the other things are important, but there's one great, great thing in my life, and that is knowing the Lord.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.